sermon is called Bread from Heaven, Part 2. The same passage we went through the first part last Sunday from John chapter 6, verse 30 through 40. As we continue our journey through this amazing gospel, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. We're going to pick up in John 6, verse 30. But before we do that, last Sunday we left off with Jesus telling this great multitude of people, he said, "Most assuredly I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw the signs that he was the Messiah, but because you ate of the loaves and you were filled." Speaking of the miracle that Jesus did, feeding the 5,000 men and women and children. Jesus said to them, "Do not labor for food which perishes, but for the food, spiritual food, which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you," Jesus said, "because God the Father has set his seal upon him." We read that last week. Jesus was telling this group, he's still preaching to this same group, this 15,000 plus people that are following him around after he did the miracle the day before, feeding them with the bread and the fish. And they were still following Jesus around, and Jesus was telling them, stop spending all your time and energy on temporal things, things that perish. He said, start focusing on your spiritual life, right, which he said endures for everlasting life. And Jesus said, that I can give you. I can give you this life. Stop working so hard and focusing all your time and energy on things that are perishing, as he told us, right? And they said to him, what shall we do? Again, they believe in a works-based gospel, which is false. What shall we do? That we may work the works of God. Jesus answered them and said, this is the work of God, that you believe in me. You believe in him who sent me. That's the work, that you believe in me. So we're going to pick up in verse 30. Jesus is continuing to preach and teach to this group of people. And he said in verse 30, it says, John wrote, therefore they said to Jesus, what sign will you perform then, that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. They asked Jesus, what sign will you show us? Prove yourself to us. They were always seeking another sign. Such unbelievers. Jesus fed the 5,000 men right before their eyes, plus women, plus children, the day before with 5 pieces of bread, 2 sardines, 2 small fish, which was a pretty good sign that he is the Lord. He fed over 15,000 people with 5 pieces of bread and 2 fish. And they want another sign. Hey, how about doing that miracle again for us so we'll believe? Can you provide some more food for us? Maybe we'll believe in you. This is how spiritually lost these people were. Spiritually dead. Jesus had proven to them that he was the Son of God, God in the flesh, by his power, his deity, when he did all these miracles, healing people throughout the multitude of people as he was preaching and teaching the gospel writers, right? He was healing as he was feeding them that day. He was healing people. They also said, as we just read, our fathers ate manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. He's referring to back to Moses in the book of Exodus when they wandered in the desert for 40 years and God provided for them, sent down bread, manna, right? They said, our fathers, almost like they were kind of annoyed by Jesus, right? Our fathers fed us 40 years. Almost to say, you've only fed us once. You see how spiritually lost these people were? You fed us once. You know, Moses, when we were with him, oh, we ate for 40. Our fathers, our families, we ate 40 years in the wilderness. And look at Jesus, corrects them. Let's take a look at verse 32 and 33. It says, then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, which means you can count on this. Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Amen. Jesus said, Moses didn't give you that bread. He didn't provide for you. It was my Father. Jesus corrects him right away. My Father fed. Jesus says, my Father fed that rebellious generation in the wilderness 40 years. They all ate of that physical bread, and they all died. They died in the wilderness, right? They never entered into the promised land because they did not trust in God. They did not trust in his salvation, and they died in the wilderness. As you know that story, they never made it into the promised land because of their unbelief. It goes to show you how merciful God is. They wandered in the wilderness 40 years. He still fed them. He still provided. It says not one sandal worn off. But Jesus says, but they all died because they ate of the physical bread. You need the spiritual bread, he says, which I am he. He's telling them. He's telling them you need to stop focused on the physical realm and start thinking of the spiritual realm, right? Jesus said, my Father gives you the true bread from heaven, speaking of himself. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world, right? He says, I have come down from heaven to give you eternal life. Spiritual food that never perishes. I'm speaking of himself. So you do not die in the wilderness like the unbelievers, your past families, that generation, that rebellious generation that refused to trust in me. They died in the wilderness. Jesus continued. Let's take a look at verse 34 and 30 through 36. John wrote, then they said to Jesus, Lord, give us this bread always. They're still thinking of the physical bread, right? Like the woman at the well. Remember Jesus said, hey, I give you living water. She says, oh, give me this water always. She was thinking, she said, so I don't have to come back to this well each day and draw water. They couldn't attach themselves from the physical. Neither could this group, right? He's like, I'm talking about spiritual food, spiritual living water that feeds your soul. They're still thinking, hey, give us the bread, send it down. Verse 35. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Right? Life isn't found in a loaf of bread. Right? You knuckleheads. It doesn't say that, but probably was thinking it. Right? It's found in a living person, he says. And I am he. Get your mind off the physical. It says, he who comes to me, look at this verse. Powerful. He who comes to me shall never hunger. And he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you, you have seen me. You've seen what I have done, yet you do not believe. He calls them right out. All these things I've done before your eyes, and you still do not believe. Jesus was telling them, come to me, and the results of your life is that you will never, ever hunger. And he who believes in me will never, ever thirst, listen, spiritually. He's not talking about the physical when you read this. He's talking about spiritual. Your soul will be satisfied in me. Amen? Your soul will be satisfied in me. You will never hunger and thirst spiritually if you come to me and he who believes in me. You know what Jesus is telling us? 15,000, it might have been 20,000 people there falling around. He says, you know what? I'm the answer that you need. I am what you need. To believe is to eat by faith, and to drink is to come to me by faith. Forget the physical. He's talking spiritual. Jesus, I want you to know this. Jesus is more concerned about your spiritual being than your physical being, okay? He is more concerned about your soul, because it's your soul that after this life goes on to live forever. Okay, the Bible's clear on that. And Jesus was concerned for them as well, that the spiritual being, not the physical, right? Not the physical, right? Jesus said in the end of this chapter, which we'll get to eventually, he said at the end of this chapter to these same people, he said, it is the spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. He goes on, he said, the words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. So by the end of the chapter, they're still not believing in Jesus. Right? The Bible again says that our soul, our spirit, who we really are, okay? It's our soul and our spirit who we really are, goes on to live forever. Everybody that was ever born is still alive. They are still alive. The soul, the spirit, never, ever dies. It goes on to live forever after this life. And that's who you really are. It's your soul, right? You are going to either go into one or two places, the Bible says, after this life. You are either going to go into heaven or you are going to go into hell, depending on your relationship with Jesus Christ. That's it. There's no third place. I know our Catholic friends like to talk about this place, purgatory. That fantasy island doesn't exist. Okay, that has led more people to hell than anything. Purgatory, that there's some sort of island you're going to go to, some sort of boot camp, and God's going to get to prepare you. No. He gives you until you take your last breath to come to him. There's no such thing as that fantasy island. That's blasphemy against God. The Bible is so clear on this. There's no gray area. It's so clear. And Jesus also told him, he said, but I said to you that, he says, you've seen me, and yet you do not believe. Blessed are those, the Bible says, Jesus says, who have not seen me and yet believe. These people saw him, God, in the flesh, standing before them, and they didn't believe. You see how dead they were spiritually? We believe and we haven't seen. Jesus says, oh, blessed are you who have not seen me, and yet you believe in me. One day we'll all be in the presence of Jesus, and our eyes are going to be open to the spiritual world, and you're going to see Jesus exactly for who he is. It's going to be amazing. Jesus tells him, you have seen plenty, but you still do not believe. You know, I'm going to tell you right now, if you miss the spiritual, like these people, you do not have life. If you miss the spiritual. Jesus said, if you hunger for me, if you thirst for me, if you believe in me, if you follow after me, you will have eternal life in my name, says the Lord. It's a promise from Jesus to every one of us. Let's take a look at verse 37. This is a powerful verse. This is a very, very powerful verse, verse 37. Listen to this. Jesus said, all that the Father gives to me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, by no means will I cast them out. Wow. Security in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. If anyone tells you that you can lose your salvation once you are saved, once you are in Christ, I want you to tell them that's not what the Bible says. That's not what God's Word says. God have mercy on them that says that. Show them this verse. There are many verses about this very thing. I want to share one with you. If you brought your Bible with you this morning, I want you to turn to John chapter 10. If you didn't bring your Bible with you, shame on you. Just kidding. You can use the Pew Bible, page 1656. John chapter 10. Pew Bible page, if you want to use that one, is on page 1656. I want to share this very powerful passage with you from the same book we're in. John chapter 10. We're going to go right down to verse 27 through 30. Or you can just listen carefully. John chapter 10, verse 27 and 30. Listen to what Jesus said. He said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Listen, look at this, verse 28. "And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish." Look at this. "Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." Look at verse 29. "My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. My Father and I are one." Amen. Did you catch that? "My Father has given them to me." If you are in Christ, the Father has given you to the Son. The Father did not give us to the Son to take us back. To take, let alone, better said, take us from the Son. Anyone that tells you can lose your salvation, God have mercy on them. That's not what God said. Jesus said, "My Father has given them to me. They are mine. No one can take them from me." He says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And none of them will be lost." The Father did not give you to me to just take you back. That's not the mighty God we serve. Salvation, listen, salvation isn't temporary. Okay? This is not a temporary thing. Even when you're not walking with God, if you're saved, you're saved. Even when you fall and stumble, you still belong to Jesus Christ. And the true sign of someone being saved is you'll go to him and say, "Please forgive me, Lord. I said something I shouldn't have. I did something I shouldn't have. I didn't do this." That's a sign of being saved. Why? Because that's the Holy Spirit in you convicting you of what you did. And you turn and repent. The sign of being saved. If you sin and it bothers you. And we're going to go back to our passage in chapter 6. But I want to share a verse with you that goes with this. It's in our passage next Sunday. Verse 44. Jesus tells these same people. It goes along with exactly what I'm talking. Listen to what Jesus said. He said, "No one can come to me unless the Father draws him to me." Don't you like, right? Love that? Jesus said, "No one can even come to me unless the Father draws them to me." Right? And Jesus said, "And I will raise them up on the last day." Hallelujah. See this right here? The Father draws. Right? The Father knows the heart. the believer. So the Father draws, right? The Father draws. The Father gives to the Son, as we're reading right here in the Scriptures, right? Jesus receives, Jesus keeps, and Jesus raises up. Amen? I mean, incredible passage. And Jesus said, and no one's going to snatch them from my hand. No one is going to take them from me. This is divine election and human responsibility right here. Right? God calls, and we respond. Our security of our salvation, I want you to know this is very important for you to understand. The security of our salvation rests in the sovereignty of God. Okay? It rests in the sovereignty. What does that mean? That means God secures your salvation. He secures it. He secures our salvation in His Son. Right? In Christ Jesus. Listen, it's a good thing it's not up to us to keep, right? You follow me, right? If it was up to us to keep, it was up to us, we'd lose it. I'm telling you right now, if it was up to us to keep, so we'd find a way to lose it. Amen? At least I would. Right? If it was up to me to keep my salvation secure, oh, I'd find a way to lose it. You know what? God knew better than to trust you and me. He secures it. There's no getting away. It's amazing. God secures our salvation. Thank you, Lord. Now listen, some people read Matthew 10:22 or Matthew 24:13 when Jesus says this. He who endures, listen carefully. Jesus said this. Some people read this, take it a different way. Jesus said, he who endures to the end will be saved. Okay? Now some people read that and go, oh, I got to endure to the end, otherwise I'm going to lose my salvation. Let me tell you something right now. If you are in Christ Jesus, you will endure to the end. You will endure to the end. Amen? God will make sure of it. So some people say, oh, right there, whoa, 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 Pastor, that says right there, if I don't endure to the end, unless I do that, if I fall away, I'm going to lose it. If you are in Christ Jesus, you will never fall away. You will endure to the very last breath. Period. You will, and God is going to make sure of it, right? Philippians 1:6, what does it say? He, the Holy Spirit, has begun a good work in you, will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. That's sanctification in the believer. He will complete. Listen, you know what Jesus said? The work I've started in you years ago, some of you have been walking with God years ago. He said, that work I started in you back in the 70s, I'm going to complete it. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to complete it. All the way through until you're glorified in heaven with God. God secures our salvation. Let me just tell you this. Those who do not endure, those who fall away, those who make no progress in holiness, they were never saved to begin with. They were never truly converted. They were never in Christ Jesus. Because God will never, ever let the true believer fall away. Ain't going to happen. Some people say, Johnny, yeah, he was in church every week. Oh, yeah, he accepted Jesus in 82. But now he's out living like the devil. Johnny was never saved to begin with. You can profess faith in Christ. Doesn't mean you're saved. Let's take a look at verse 38 and 39. Verse 38 and 39, Jesus said, he tells them, for I've come down from heaven, right? This is twice now Jesus said it in that passage. I've come down from heaven. I want you to know I've come down from heaven. What does that mean? I've always existed. I'm not a created being. I've always existed. I've come down from heaven. Twice now he tells them. I've always existed. And look what Jesus said. He says, not to do my own will, but the will of him, the Father, who sent me. The Father sent me down to save you. This was my Father's will. He sent me down to save you. In verse 39, he says, again, he says, this is the will of the Father who sent me. Look at this. Here you go again. About not losing your salvation once you're in Christ. Jesus said that of all he, the Father, has given me, I shall lose nothing, but should raise it up in the last day. You see what Jesus says again, right? He said, all that the Father gives me, all that comes to me, all that hungers for me, all who thirst for me, all who follow me and believe in me, the Father gives to me, and I will lose none of them. They're mine, secured in Christ Jesus. All that the Father gives to me, I shall not lose one of them. And not only that, Jesus promises us this. He says, and not only that, I'm going to raise them up on the last day and bring them to me. Right? Back in verse 37, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and the ones who come to me, by no means will I cast out. Verse 39, all that the Father gives to me, I shall lose none of them. Full security in Christ Jesus for eternity, everlasting life. Amazing. We serve a merciful and gracious God, huh? That the Father would send his perfect Son down from heaven to save you and me. It's amazing. You want to talk about love for his creation. Let's take a look at our final verse, verse 40, and we'll close. Jesus said, look at the, here we, right? Look at what the Son says. This is the will of him. I'm doing my Father's will, Jesus said. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life. And look what Jesus says again. And I will raise him up in the last day. Just in case you forgot, I said it before. I'm going to raise you up. I want you to know this. I'm going to raise you up on the last day. Bring you to me. Amazing. Everyone who comes to me, believes in me, may have everlasting life in me. And I will raise him up or her up on the last day. Amazing. Verse 39, I'll raise them up. Verse 40, I'll raise them up. Verse 44, I'll raise them up. And why? Because verse 48, this is my Father's will. Verse 39, this is my Father's will. Verse 40, this is my Father's will. Verse 57 of this chapter, this is my Father's will to do this for you. Amazing. The Father's will is that you believe in his Son and place your faith and trust in him and him alone for your salvation. That's the Father's will. Therefore, he sent the Son down to make a revelation to you. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for speaking to us this morning, speaking into our hearts, Lord, your word. Oh, Lord, we thank you for this, Lord. We thank you, Father, that you secure our salvation, Lord. So when we screw up, you don't toss us out. Jesus said, I still keep you. You're mine. You're mine. We thank you for this gracious, gracious promise, Lord. And we thank you, Father, for sending your Son down as our Savior so that after this life we can spend eternity with you. Oh, Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.